Welcome back to the David Watson podcast. Thank you for returning. And if it's your first time, I hope you enjoy the episode. Because today I spoke with a returning guest, Teresa. Teresa is a world-class bodybuilder. She has been the highest level on the stage of Miss Olympia. And today we had a really good conversation about everything from how she hacks social media to just how difficult bodybuilding really is. And you will be genuinely surprised at just how difficult the lifestyle of being a bodybuilder is. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed catching up with Teresa. And as always, thank you for watching. Hello, welcome back to the David Watson podcast. I think it's been about 18 months, but I'm glad to see you again. And you're looking really well. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me back. It's great to see you. Looking forward to our chat.
Same here. So just briefly, tell everyone about your dog. Is she, how old is she now? About a year, is it nearly?
Yeah, she's about a year old, a year and a couple months. Yeah, she's American Bully, so she's our baby.
She is, definitely. What prompted you to get the dog?
What was that?
What prompted you to get a dog?
So we had a dog, and she had passed away like 3 years ago, and it took us that long to try to fill the void with that. And this is a funny story, actually. We were actually at the bar drinking, and my fiance picks the phone up, and he's like, I want this dog. And he showed me a picture of her as a pup or whatever. I'm like, we can't do that right now. Like, it was just like being able to come in and out of the house and not worry about what you were doing, where you were going and all that stuff. So we kind of put on the back burner. 2 weeks later, we drinking again. And it was like 12:30 in the morning. And he's like, this dog is still available. And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. We'll just message him. So he wanted a good bit of money for it. And we talked him down about $2,000. And he did the ear cropping and stuff too. I cashed up him that night. I woke up in the morning. I remember doing it at least. And then we had an 8-hour trip to go pick her up in Virginia. So that was, yeah. But she's been so good, because a lot of people can't, like, you get another dog and you're like, well, that wasn't so-and-so. That's not what so-and-so did. She hasn't touched anything, ate anything, did anything wrong, never peed or pooped in the house. So I can't complain. I'm good.
No, it's good. Cause obviously I see her a lot on your social medias, and she's a stunning looking dog, a stunning looking dog.
Thank you.
And thank you. So yeah, it's, what's her name, by the way, for everybody?
Zeta.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So, and one last thing before we actually get into the serious, more serious parts of the podcast is, last time I spoke to you, you were just about to get a Jeep and you then got it. How's that been?
Mm-hmm. It's been amazing. And I probably am probably getting up there on my lease. I'm probably going to have to get another one. But that one I had to build because of the whole pandemic thing. So I've been enjoying it. I like the fact that it's, you know, the four wheel, and I like the fact that it's a convertible. I did the soft top this time, though, because that's a whole heck of a lot easier to take down than a hard top.
Yeah, definitely. Because you were excited about getting it when I last spoke to you, and you were just like, "Oh yeah, this is going to be a dream come true." In fact, last time I spoke to you, you were extending the gym as well.
We're still looking. Obviously, we decided to change the whole gear of that. We went land. We've been just dealing with like the hiccups and having somebody else in control over, you know, the business, like taking the rent up, you know, the cam rates are getting astronomical. We just want to own something. So now we kind of shift the gears and it's trying to find it land. I will say that we do have a meeting this weekend, and we are possibly going to do a turnkey with a local gym here. Nothing's in the works with that just yet, but they want out and they want Harlan's too. in the town. So we're looking forward to possibly, you know, doing and merging that. So that also is in the works. Plus, we definitely will expand. It's just not at this time until we find that land.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? It's It's not just about finding land. It's finding what's right for you and Jeff.
Correct. And I mean, I'm not going to say any of the ventures. I mean, we've probably looked at least anywhere from 10 to 15 buildings. We learn. And I will take every single building that I walked into and learn like what you shouldn't do, what you can do, the setup. Like, maybe we didn't look at AC or heat in one, and some of them don't have any at all. And then you have to just look at your expenses, you know, and your pros and your cons of doing that. And
They're sleeping dogs. Just for reference to people, we were joking about the dog making noises before we started, and I was hoping that would happen. Have you got a competition coming up in the next few weeks?
Yes, 2.5 weeks. It'll be in Mesa, Arizona. It's the Triple O Dynasty.
And there's quite... I always think I know a little bit about bodybuilding, and then when I follow accounts, I think, oh, I didn't understand it was like that, or I didn't understand it like that. Do you have to qualify for Olympia again, even though you've already been in the final?
Mm-hmm. We do now, because the Olympia only accepts the top three back. So, meaning you could make top five, which gives you the notoriety of everything, but it's the fact that you still have to come back on 4 and 5. So, Zeta. But they took the points away. So you have to win in order to do that now. So every year, if you don't place the top three, you do have to come back and have to qualify, which makes it harder, I feel, for any amateur or somebody doing their pro debut, because the whole, and the fact that we only have 5 or 6 shows to compete at in the States, you are, odds of you being new and coming into the pro leagues, you're going to compete against Olympians from the very first pro show, you know, and a lot of them at each show, because we don't have that many to compete with. But, you know, at the Olympia, you have, let's say, top 20. That means, you know, 3 people go back and the rest of them still need to requalify. But they already made it to the Olympia. So they know what to do with their bodies. They know how to get there. So now it just makes, I feel, it harder in these, the qualification shows, you know, in order to get to the Olympia.
Did the men have to do the same?
They do too. That the very first year they took those points away, they did let the men stay. Top 5 gets to come back. And then just recently, I think it was this year, they went back down to just the top 3. So, I mean, only top 3 of each division can come back. If not, you're requalifying.
That's crazy. I'm not sure mm-hmm. I don't know how that's an advantage, because I think of Dorian Yates, and he famously mm-hmm. only ever competed once a year. I mean, it was fine once he'd won Olympia, but he refused to do any shows because he didn't want, he's just like, I'm just going to zone in on one show to be in the best possible condition that is humanly possible for me. And he was fortunate.
I mean, it makes it hard because let's say now I'm only doing this one. I'm a one and done kind of person. I can't, and I base a lot of myself on my genetics, so I can't keep doing show to show. If I try to jump show to show to actually qualify for the Olympia, I'm going to come in looking like garbage come Olympia time, because my body is tapped out. It cannot do anymore. There's been no break. There's been no balance. And that's an issue, you know. And then you also don't want to keep chasing, you know, these shows, because that's a big health risk, you know, as well, you know, depending on supplements or gear or the amount of training, the, you know, the cardio sessions and things like that. So it gets to become a lot.
Just the other thing as well, and you've been fairly open about this, is just the cost. Like, you know, because you've got the show coming up in a couple of weeks, and there's the flights, the hotels, and that's not the best preparation going into a show. Already, like, mm-hmm. we're going to cost a few thousand dollars just to do this, and you're going to stay in a hotel, which is, again, and the traveling is never the best way to prep the body for, you know, for what you're trying to achieve. And it just seems ludicrous that, what I'm struggling to understand is, we bodybuilders know the best way to be in the best physical shape. And the people that seem to be running Olympia are like, yeah, we know that's the best as well, but that's not what we're going to do. So we don't want to see the best, but we do want to see the best. It's just like, but the practice doesn't tally up with what it is you're trying to achieve, because you know the best thing for a bodybuilder to do is, and any professional athlete of any type, is to train, have the rest, have the train, and be able to focus on a single goal. Not, like you said, not be up, not come down, not be up, not come down.
Yep. That's it. Yep. I mean, they hope that, like, each show, like, you learn and then you get better with what you did do. And sometimes it can happen depending on the amount of weeks in between the shows to shows. But men can do it more than a woman can do it, you know, because there's certain, you know, hormonal supplements and stuff that we take that will really screw up our, you know, our hormones, you know, our thyroids, our estrogen, like, and everything. And then you can't fix that because, like, then we start to flood out with cortisol. Most of the girls are ending up with this gut health issue. So, I mean, you really got to be precautious about your game plan going in, and you have to be okay with, if you are going to do like I did, and you're not, and you're going to do one show, and let's say you don't win, you can't change your mind and try to do it again unless you feel 100% better, you know, to do it, and you feel like your body can actually go through it again. But again, even if you win that one, then you still have the Olympia, or maybe you jumped into the Rising Phoenix, or, you know, you have other things that you're doing. So it's just, you really have to watch out, because you got to look at that 16 weeks, another 16 weeks, another 16 weeks, Chris, you're dying in the whole year. So, I mean, there's no break, you know, and I think that takes a lot of a toll. Yes, there's a lot of physical involved, but I feel like there is, which I learned this last prep, a lot more mental than there is physical involved with that.
I mean, obviously, as a guy, and I've never competed as a bodybuilder, but ironically, through podcasts, I've done a few podcasts on the menopause and the menstrual cycle as it goes. And for a bloke, I'm probably quite an expert. And it's crazy because if you're a woman in good health, you're going to have 12 to 13 cycles a year. Okay, if you're in good health, the roller coaster of what that physically can do to your body is immense. And often, and I'm not trying to cheerlead for anyone, but it's often misunderstood by guys that how biologically the body changes through the period of that cycle. And so if you're trying to tally that up, like you say, with training, and okay, I've got to predict what my cycle is going to be, I've got to predict how they're going to react. And it's not the same for two women. It's so individual. And I think this is something that men definitely don't understand, and I'm not entirely sure that women fully appreciate. One person's cycle isn't going to be the same as someone else's. It's not
Correct.
how it works. So you could be listening to the best advice in the world, it's not applicable to you, and your body's going to go like, "What the hell do you think you're doing? No, we're not doing that." And the thing that's difficult is you might get that response 3 weeks after you started doing something, and it might take you a couple of menstrual cycles to figure out, oh, the problem isn't I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm just doing something wrong for me. And it's an incredibly difficult, like, yeah, I mean, I actually I'm not sure how you can juggle that kind of training.
I mean, with somebody, I mean, we've had clients that just, like, they have high estrogen and cortisol to begin with, you know, and to me, as soon as I see that as a coach, I'm like, okay, then we got to watch the carbohydrates, because those carbohydrates are going to act like a sponge, and it's just going to blow that person up. So, I mean, we really have to be precautious of that. And then it's like, okay, well, we're focusing on that one thing to keep the water down, but is that really how their body ticks? You know, is their body going to be okay digesting fat instead of using the carbohydrates? You know, because you're trying to suffice one, but you still have the other one that has to, you know, work hand in hand too. And that gets hard, that gets challenging. You know, but women more, we are all estrogen based for the most part. Now, I genetically have high testosterone. I mean, I had high testosterone since I've been 13 years old. I didn't know that. And if I would have known that, I would have done stuff a lot sooner, you know, going into bodybuilding. You know, I just didn't have any knowledge, you know, beyond that, because we're kids. My sister, she's estrogen based. My brother, he's testosterone based. So it flip-flops generations, you know. But I mean, I'm lucky I don't have to deal with a lot of that side of it, you know, with the estrogen and things like that, like other women. But I have many that I coach, and you have to be open-minded about, you know, what they're doing, or maybe pull carbs down that week that they're going through their cycle, you know, so we can really start to keep that balance out. So when they're done, you know, we can sharpen things up even more. It's just paying attention to that detail, and I think big on communication. But if you don't communicate with your coach, and a lot of coaches will be like, oh, that's too TMI. In my world of coaching, there is no such thing as too much TMI. I need to know if you can't go to the bathroom. I need to know if your pee is yellow. I need to know if you're bloated, if you're constipated, because something isn't working. And if that something is being held away from my knowledge, I'm going to think that my plan's not working, and I'm going to keep changing all kinds of stuff up. So it's just communication.
What's the single biggest difficulty you're having getting clients to communicate?
I don't anymore, just because I'm not a very stern coach. I'll get my point across to them, but I'm not like I'm more of a friend to them, you know. And I've found that there's a lot of the way that you respond to somebody through their check-ins creates a different type of friendship, a different kind of connection, a different kind of trust where they are not afraid. I didn't make it same like as parenting. I didn't make them afraid to tell me anything because they're going to hold something back if I'm going to come back at you and shoot you out on that message. Yes, we're going to talk about it, but I don't need to like throw a dart in your face for it. We just need to address it. But I think it's being a good coach is being able to be well-rounded and understanding as well. I get there's a lot out there that are just like, nope, just do what I say. I don't want to hear anything else. But I've saved a lot of girls from eating disorders, from a lot of mental and stress family issues. I do more like therapy stuff while I'm training them, which gives them a better relationship with their food, which gives them the results that they want. But I have to have that type of communication. And don't get me wrong, it's not out there with a lot of coaches. And these girls and guys, you need to find the one that's going to fit best for you because dieting is one thing, but the mental part is definitely another. And if you have stress on the other end, but you can't talk about it, it's hard that you'll never see results.
That's interesting because I was going to ask you about the mental side of it because it is something that you've talked about and you've discussed that in previous podcasts. And what where do people get it right?
Like, what do you mean? Like, where are they?
So it's sometimes I think the battle. This is a personal observation, so it might not be applicable. But sometimes I find I'm at my best with my mental health when I recognize that something is going well or it isn't, instead of trying to pretend everything's fine. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like I know where you're going. It's you know, it's happened to me now. It's like and it happens with every, whether you're an amateur or you're a pro, you know. And I'm not saying that it's heavy on self-doubt, but it's just the fact that you're like, you ask yourself, why am I doing this? You know, because I think there's no like reward, like there's no big reward. Yes, the Olympia, yes, it is that award. But I mean, prize money wise, the amount of time that we put in, the amount of time that I've getting taken away from me. You know, the vicious cycle, this prep here has been the absolute hardest prep I've ever done. It's required a heck of a lot more attention than any of my other preps because there's a lot on the line. So I have to do everything I possibly can. You know, and there was a point where I was almost training for 4 hours a day because it was, you know, 2 hour cardio sessions. My training might be an hour and a half, and then you try to squeeze in posing and I have to still put in a posing routine, you know, and then I have my massages and I have to stretch every morning. And then it's like, then you got to prep your food, cook your food, you know, try to get on social media and do that. So it's a lot of mental stuff that way. I can't even say that it's a lot of mental because you're trying to pick and choose like who you're going against and you're comparing. I don't even put that in the equation because I don't care who shows up. I'm coming because I'm going to be the best version of myself. And whoever wins that day, you know. So as long as you come in very confident and happy with the package that you're bringing, then you're fine. But it's a lot of the, we're going back to mental, it's the tiredness, the not wanting the will to get up and do something, the your feet are so heavy that you can't even pick your legs up. Like you just get cranky, you know, fights start to occur within the family. People don't understand why you're not going to certain events, you know, if you're, you know, just starting out. The fact that you have no choice but to bring your Tupperware with you to every restaurant that you go to. Now, I go out to eat pretty much almost every night of the week with my fiance and the friends, but my Tupperware comes with me. I'm not taking away that socialization time because I'm in a bodybuilding prep. I eat my food, they eat their food, and we have fun. But it's just you have to be able to do that and not look at somebody else's plate and just be thinking about that food the whole time because you have a certain goal. But bodybuilding to me, there is a lot that's the physical side of it. But I feel like equally it's mentally because you have to tell yourself that you're doing this, you have a goal, you have a reason, you know, you got to keep that motivation, keep that discipline, eat your food, do all your posing. You just have to do that.
It's a funny sport in the sense that it's one of the few sports out there that, one, I don't think people realize how technical it is. And what I mean by technical is it's all year round. I know people say there's an off season, but the off season is focused on getting bigger. So it's not like you're off, you know. And when you start, okay, and now I need to prep, you've literally got to take your body, you've got to time your body to be within an inch of your life for that day. And there's 365 days of effort for a 12-hour window when you're turning up on stage. And on top of that, you've got to pick your routine. You've got to rehearse your poses. You've got to dial in and nail those poses. You've got to pick your outfits. You've got to pick your shade of tanning. And so, do you know what I mean? You've even got to make sure you turn up with the right makeup. Because you can have great makeup, but if it doesn't sit on you well on the day, and you know, you've got to do your hair. There's all these things. And I don't think people appreciate just how technical that all is. Because if you make a silly mistake, like, you know, you go out, get drunk and have a heavy meal one weekend, you're like, yeah, it's fine, I'm 6 weeks out. That will actually potentially screw up the whole show, and it's you it doesn't forgive you.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's like I said, like bodybuilding is just so mental because it's just you and I. And if you're like me, I'm OCD. And if I try to maybe do, if I did something that I or drank a diet pop or something, I'll beat myself up over it. You know what I mean? Just because of that. Or I didn't do my posing routine, or I didn't do my poses, or I forgot to stretch that morning. Like I will beat myself up over that every day, you know, and that creates stress, which creates cortisol, which you at the same time is like, one thing that I just actually need to add to my ebook is meditation. I think we all need to have some type of downtime, you know, and just like that balance. Because like going back to the mental thing, right after Tampa in last year, I got with my coach. I might have checked in once, and I had paid for the year, so I literally just blew all that money because I didn't check in at all until January the following year. I didn't want nothing to do with bodybuilding. It's not the fact that I didn't win. I was burnt out. I was mentally and physically burnt out. I didn't stop training. I didn't stop doing cardio. I didn't stop eating clean. I just wanted nothing to do with a tight regimen, like following and chasing the clock every day. So, I mean, if I wanted, we like to Carly, we like to drink, we like to have fun. So I wanted to do that. So we did that. And coming back in January, my coach was like, okay, well, I haven't seen you in 6 months or whatever. And he's like, we need to do a 24-week prep. And I remember reading it and I was like, there's no way. I'm one of those people that I work well under pressure, and I'm not doing 24 weeks. If I know I have that long to do, I'm gonna cheat. I already know it. I'm not gonna follow the plan. It's gonna take me a while to even get into that state of mind that I even want to do check-ins. So we were going through the shows and this one popped up, and I didn't realize it was the very first year for it. And I, after him telling me 24 weeks, I slam him with, hey, we're doing 1 in 10. He looks at me and he's just like, you know, I don't find this like feasible to do, you know, but he's like, I'm not saying you can't. He's like, but I'm up for the challenge if you are. And him and I just decided to go ahead and jump in it. And I'll tell you what, that next day, boom, I was on my diet. Like I knew if I was going to have a longer period of time, I wasn't going to do it. This time I have not cheated at all. I've gotten every single meal in for all the weeks that I've been dieting, 8 weeks now, you know, and that was the first time I can actually say that I actually literally stayed on everything, you know, as I was told, because I knew I had to flip the switch. I knew time was ticking. We knew we had to amp up the cardio and hopefully taper back, you know, and get to where we are right now. But I know mentally I couldn't handle that long of a prep. You know, we know off season is just as important as the on season, but I was never told that I needed to improve. I was just told to sharpen it up. So I stayed within a happy medium balance. I didn't chase the scale at some of these girls are going up 200 pounds. I don't know why. Like they hope to God to have extra lean muscle mass to them, but you're not going to gain that much by that. You're still going to have to strip that off. So it's humanly impossible you can gain that much unless you're going to really gear up with it, which is a side that I'm never going to touch. And I choose not to go that route. But I don't want to go up there because I don't want to bring it back down. And I feel like that's where the conditioning will suffer because now you just made your work 10 times harder and now you do have to prep 30 weeks, 24 weeks, and 20 weeks. So kind of basing that off of your what you want to do as an athlete, just be smart about what you do in the off season.
Have you noticed a difference now that you have like a newfound enthusiasm? Because you're actually smiling about this one.
Yeah, because I mean, I just because this honestly, like these type of podcasts, I love because I get to be me. I get to speak how I want to speak. I get to talk how I want to talk. I want to educate people, and this is real. I'm not sugarcoating anything. I want everybody to understand and know from my experience of 17 years and 31 shows in that this is it. I mean, I'm not falsifying anything. So I want people to understand that this is hard. I'm not perfect by any means. We've had our arguments the last couple of weeks, and you get told you better get your shit together because I can't live like this. But it happens, and then you look at yourself in the mirror and like, you're better than this, like fix this, But if I can help teach other people and, make this process un more understandable, I think that's really what I'm after.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you are generous with sharing on social media about actually where you are and how flat you feel, or and just recently, like I said, maybe it was because you had the year off. But have you noticed that there's like a new passion or a re-energized passion, maybe is a better way of describing it?
I think because that whole pressure is on this year, because of the show being the only one, I wanted to like kind of like do everything I possibly could to leave no stone unturned, have the complete package that I was told to bring, and showcase myself as me being me with my version of female bodybuilding and having fun doing it. I'm drained. Don't get me wrong. I'm tired. There's
Yeah,
been
for sure.
days, probably in the last couple of weeks, I was like, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm just going to back out. I just don't want to do it. But you have all this, expense, already paid for and things like that that you can't back out of, and you've already come this far. But don't get me wrong. That's why I was big on the mental thing, because every day is different. Like you wake up in a good mood, you wake up in a bad mood. Like you wake up tired, you wake up energized. Like it just it's so. By you're you by you're like bipolar by this point.
Because,
So
but that's actually a really valid point. Because if I'm feeling in a shit mood and I go to work, no one cares. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get my job done. It's fine. To today, this morning. So I'm not technically at work today. I'm not on shift. But I got up to do my workout. Went out into the gardens. I got a little gym under a tin roof in the garden, sort of thing. And I started going through a little bit of a routine, and I just was really flat, just so flat. And I had this stretch massage therapy thing at the weekend, and I'm still hurting a little bit from it. I'm walking a lot better, but I'm still hurting a bit. And I was just like, yeah, do you know what? No, I'm just going to go in and turn the coffee machine on and have a cup of coffee. And because I just genuinely was not in the mood for it. But you
I
don't
mean,
have that.
I honestly, no, I did it today. I get one day off of fasted cardio a week, and I only have post cardio on my training days. Wednesdays are my rest day, Sunday is my rest day. And usually I get psychotic and say, no, you at least need to do your fasted cardio because it is a rest day. I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
My legs don't want to move. They are not going to spin that wheel. I actually slept in and I slept for 8 hours, which I have not done in all these weeks of dieting. I probably why I feel more refreshed and I feel better, and I'm letting this day kind of unfold and I get to do things like this and talk to people under podcasts, like kind of stay away from the whole bodybuilding thing, minus eating your food. But it's just like, it's just a decompressed day. You don't have it. Some people will say, oh no, go push through it, go push through it, go push through it. But if you're having that bad of a day, that's when you're going to get prone to injury. That's when
Yeah.
you're going to get fussy and tired. And don't get me wrong, there's some days that you go in the gym and I feel like I could just sit on a bench and cry, because you're just emotionally mad because this isn't me. This isn't what I'm about, like in terms of whenever I go to train. Like I want every training session to be good. And I like want to be energized. And you watch other videos and stuff, and you're like, well, they're eating more than me right now. They're not like 2 weeks out from a show. But you just always want to be your absolute best. And then when the food just starts to come down and you get to start low body fat, you just, it comes with the territory. You know, not every day is going to be good, but you put your absolute best into it. And if it requires lightening the weights up and doing more reps that day, you're still stimulating the muscle. It does not matter. The muscle knows, doesn't know what weight you're putting on there, just your mind does. You know, you can make 10 pounds feel like 50, you know, and just have a different style of training day. That's all.
One of the things I wanted to get an opinion on, because it's something that I don't understand, and that's there seems to be this shadow to do with like steroids or gear or whatever, right? And to be perfectly frank, I don't give a monkey's whether people take it or not, right? Because but what I don't understand is this kind of public obsession about it. Because, like I said, if you look at bodybuilding throughout the history, like if you go back to like Vince Gerone and people like that, you can go back earlier than that to the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. The progression in education around nutrition, how to diet, how to train, how to rest, even what you should or shouldn't drink, despite there is 1,000 hours, if not 100,000 hours, of people disagreeing on what the best way to do a bicep curl is, right? And then you get blood work. And then, like you and I were talking about, whether you, because of your estrogen levels, should you be having carbs? Should you be having less carbs? Are you retaining water? Right. And so when I hear somebody say steroids, I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Do you know, like, but for every person who is, and I think it's fair to say, like, you're 1%, in the 1% of female bodybuilders, right?
Oh yeah.
Right. And is it 31 years or something like that, or
I did
17 years?
17 years, yeah.
Right. So that's going to be a few fair few thousand hours of training in a gym, right? And you could, like, you know, I don't care what level of bodybuilding you're at. If you hit 1%, men or women, thousands and thousands of hours, thousands and thousands of pounds spent on diet, on training, on lifestyle, all of it. And somebody will say, I bet they do steroids. So you've got to be fucking kidding me. You've got to be, you think that's the ingredient that's made the difference.
It's, I mean, it's the most commonly used comment to most any bodybuilder posts out there, you know, and most of them are by people that, which irritate me even more, that don't touch the gym. They are also done by people that never walked on the stage. They'll people that'll talk that they'll do, but they'll talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk. And they feel that they have every right to criticize, you know, somebody else's hard work, you know, by an opinion of what they think they did to get there. You don't know exactly like you talked about. You don't know how much chicken I cook, you know, or, you know, how much training I do, how much cardio I do, how my day is regimened with consistency of Groundhog Day every single day of my life. You know, they don't look at all that. So we always say this is behind the closed doors. You know, everybody sees what, you know, what's on stage. You know, that day that you're shining, but you have no idea behind that door and in the dark what people did in order to get there.
Because even the bit, like, I genuinely, I struggle to comprehend the fascination with this tiny little facet of what someone's training might be. And there's some huge blokes out there who have been genuinely honest and said, yeah, I did some, and even have put out the details of their cycle. And somebody will focus on the details of that cycle, and you're just like, yeah, but look at this mountain, this huge mountain of everything else. Like, if I promise you, if there's the one thing that's never discussed is mindset, because the average person couldn't train that way and live that lifestyle. And it doesn't matter how big a shadow that is literally casting, they will look at this little steroids. You're like, no. It's like, and this is even the people who are on it. You know, like I think of the people like Dorian Yates, Lee Priest, Jake Cutler, who've all actually be openly put their cycles out there, what they took. And people are like, yeah, it's because they did gear. No. It's because
Oh,
of,
I know.
it's when you just, like, and
Oh.
my brain implodes, because
Yeah.
I don't know how to communicate with these people.
Well, you
I don't
feel
know
like
why
you
I'm
make
having a rant
it.
about it. I don't do anything.
No, I mean, they're making it seem like you go walk in a room and you take steroids and you walk out and you look like Superman. Like, I don't understand what you guys, what is that, what they're thinking about that, you know, like that, like nothing else has, like 10% of it. You know, like that's a quick hit, like whenever you need to take it on your cycle, but everything else is daily, you know, constantly being done, you know, and a majority of the people that think that people take what they do don't really take that high of a cycle, or they probably don't take half the crap that you blame them for.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see that all the time.
And the other thing that I like I said, and I get so infuriated with people is like, even if that person is taking it, it's completely irrelevant if they don't do all of this.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like there is an encyclopedia of what else needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do all of that 99.9% of it, this 0.1% is irrelevant. Yes.
Yeah, it's just that, like, they're different. Like, you're just, it's like making a cake. That's the icing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these other ingredients have to go into the main base and the product. That's just the icing on the cake. Like, I mean, and usually not being used until it's like, you know, 8 or 6 weeks out, you know, if you need a tightener or a hardener or a water blocker or something like that. And these aren't even bad things.
No,
like,
no.
It's just enough that you get on and you get off and life keeps going.
Well, because you can actually give people steroids is a really interesting one, because I know loads of people that have to take steroids for medical conditions.
I just did a big article on this. Yeah. I just wrote a huge article on the fact that, like, it's going to be in Amazon mags. I think it's coming up in the next edition, but it's basically talking how you can use PEDs, get such a bad name, but they're also used for many other things. You know, like, I'll use like clenbuterol, for example. It's L-buterol that's in an inhaler to help people with asthma. It's no different. You have a thyroid medication that we use, you know, to burn fat, but there's also thyroid medication to help control somebody's thyroid. You know, and then we look at that, the longevity of what a PED can do. A lot of these people sometimes need these T3s or clenbuterol in order to sustain their life longer, or they get into TRT, which is testosterone replacement therapy. If you sit there and you talk about steroids being bad and you're taking tests, if it's called a steroid, it's bad. But if you take it, if it's a TRT and it's the same thing, it's okay. It makes no sense.
No, but that's right. If I was asthmatic and went to the doctor and he found out I had low T levels and I was private in the UK, he'd be like, well, here's your fentanyl inhaler and here's your hormone replacement therapy, your TRT.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was doing because I'm 49, if I was then doing bodybuilding, they'd be like, could he take testosterone? Yeah, because the doctor's given it to me as a medical supplement. Yeah, it's testosterone. You're like, But actually, you stole my thunder there as well, because I was going to mention your writing for the Amazon magazine, and you slipped it in before I got that segue that way. Because how's that going? Because you're really enjoying that.
Yeah, So me and Glenn had gotten into this relationship, and I don't even think he saw my post, because it was in a podcast later, like a couple weeks ago. He asked me, why did I work with you? And I said, to be honest with you, because I made a post prior saying that my dream is gone. I can't ever be on a front cover of a magazine, let alone inside. There is no more magazines. They're kind of becoming extinct. Well, he came along and he was starting this magazine and he reached out to me. And again, it's very hard getting started if you're going to start a podcast or you're going to do something with getting the right people involved to make it launch correctly, you know? I'm not big on like, well, who did you work with prior or whatever. I can pretty much read people by now. Me and him talked. He drove the whole way up, I think, from either North Carolina, South Carolina or whatever. We did this bike shoot in a local park, and it was the very first front cover issue for his magazine. Then it kind of started taking off. And then because I did it, more other girls were like, okay, well, if she did it, I can do it. That whole rapport. And we got to talking and he got into this magazine and he asked me if I would be interested in writing for him. And I was like, absolutely, because I have a lot to say. I don't want to be filtered about anything. So we have picked different topics throughout the times. I do every other magazine. Then he offered the sponsorship for athletes. And it's me, Hella, Ashley Jones. And I think that's it. Or he has one more. If this goes well, he wants to branch it off to women's physique and figure as well. So it's just, he seen a vision and he was given back. And it was me again, given a chance with him to let him live through what he wanted to do. You know, we also make his t-shirts for Amazon, you know, as well. And we're trying to come out with a different clothing line for him too, but all around great guy that just 100% supports, you know, female bodybuilding in the right direction.
It's interesting because I think it would be fair to say you've helped bring back a lot of glamour to female bodybuilding, because you mm-hmm. have really embraced the photo shoots and the cocktail dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And yep. you know, and you do look good. You do look genuinely. You look stunning.
Thank you.
So you have kind of like brought back something that was maybe missing. You know, or something that because there was always this thing about, and I don't think it was men as much as anything. So I'd imagine I know you've got a lot of male fans, but there was always this like girls in muscles, and so to have somebody who is attractive and to be bringing like the cocktail dresses to it, it can only help bring more women into the sport.
Mm-hmm. It's being a billboard for your own work.
Yeah.
I believe in everything that I have to offer, you know, and that was one goal from day one, that femininity was going to be the number one thing for me. I would not cross the line. This is just a based opinion on myself that I just spoke about. I do not like the girls big. I do not like them grainy and hard and dry and veined out. That's my opinion. So how I bring my version of female bodybuilding to the stage is I still can bring beauty. I can bring a nice flow of muscle, nice shape, and a good conditioning. That to me is that old school Corey Everson, Linda Murray, you know, female bodybuilding. I do not think that it's going to help if we're categorized walking out like sumo wrestlers on stage and being hard about it. Like, our posing needs to flow. We don't need to be stiff. We don't need to act arrogant. And a lot of that comes with the territory too. So it's being a good representation for not just yourself, but the sport, and helping other women see she has that and she's maintained that. I can do that. You know, and it's making it more doable for the future generations of girls saying that this can be done. You know, so that was my main goal, is teaching not even just the sport of the future generation, but the general public that this is beautiful. Because I cannot even tell you how many times I've gone out shopping by myself in this last week, and I'm just texting my fiance, I'm like, I just want to go home. Only because people are just like intrigued about it. What's your body fat percentage? Can I take a photo with you? Asking me a million questions. Like, one girl came out from a counter at a farmer's market and asked me if I could help her with bulimia. People are coming up and just talking. This isn't like an, oh, you look great. It's like, I want more from you. And I like that, you know, where it's not like, I'm not just doing it to draw attention, but I'm getting it. And everybody's giving me compliments, and I'm not sugarcoating that at all. I do not get anybody saying anything negative about me at all when I go out.
It's funny because the first time you and I spoke, there was two things I found interesting that happened. One of them was I used a thumbnail that was on your Instagram, and Instagram took it down for sexual content, right?
Oh.
Even though it's just for you in a bikini. It's just you in one of the bikini shots. And I just took a screenshot off my phone, off your Instagram account, and then somehow it got flagged for sexual content. And I was just like, that's funny. I got it from Instagram, and it's a very nice post. And the second one I found interesting was how many male friends I have who have never listened to my podcast or asked me about you. And I was just like,
oh, that's very cool. Very cool.
And I was just, I found it a bit weird. I've got to be honest, because they've never, I'm very lucky. My friends show very little interest in my podcast, so I don't get hassled about guests or stuff like that. Occasionally, somebody will come up and they're interested, like, oh, what were they like, blah blah blah. But I kind of get just to do it on my own. But I had male friends who I, you know, associates maybe at best, or I haven't seen for years.
That's awesome.
All wanted to know about you.
That's awesome.
Okay.
See, that to me is what I want. You know what I mean? And that's all that I really care about. You know, and it's just, like I said, it's getting you out there in a different way where you can touch all walks of life. It's not just, I'm a female bodybuilder. You know, it's like, I have a story to be told. I'm here to also listen, you know, and coach and help other people too, and lift other people up. This isn't just I'm not a me, look at me kind of person, you know, which there, and there's a lot of arrogant people out there, you know, people that don't respond to DMs or people that won't give you the time of day because they think they're up here. Hey, I don't care. I've been in those shoes before and I remember where I came from. And that to me is all that matters, you know, and I wouldn't be as successful as I am today if I wouldn't stay humble and keep to those, thing.
You know, I can vouch for that because you've always replied to my messages and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and sort of in fairness, when I was first talking to you via DM and you first come on the podcast, you hadn't done the Olympia final. And after that, you blew up massive.
Mm-hmm.
And you still reply. You, it's a little bit longer for you to reply to my messages sometimes. Just like
because those feeds keep getting longer and longer and longer.
I can imagine that. That's what I mean. I can imagine. And but you know, I can only say from personal experience, you've always replied to my messages, and mm-hmm. you know, and like I said, compared to when I first started talking to you, because it was the year that you got into the Olympia final. And I'd spoken to you a few months before that and then it just went huge, absolutely huge. And I was just like, yeah, okay, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, so I can genuinely confirm that actually you've always kept an open line when I've messaged you and I know.
I try to get back to everybody. I mean, it's hard, just like, and you know, it might not be the fastest at sometimes, but I mean, and there's, don't get me wrong, Instagram really filters, like there's two different, there's a filtered request and a hidden request now. And I try to get on there every day because there's a lot of opportunities that get missed because it goes in there, because we're not friends or I didn't get to know this person yet. So that I have to jump on too, but it's just like, and especially the people that I've worked with and I have a relationship with, those are the ones that are going to get the attention first. You know what I mean? And the ones that I want to,
Because it's difficult. Because I don't think people can appreciate it. It's like there's the training, the diets, the food prep, the love of mm-hmm. Tupperware. There's the dog. There's the gym. There's the online coaching. There's the clothing, and then there's the writing, and people do not realize. And you and I are both very prolific on social media, putting out content. How long content takes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to ask me, how long does it take to do a podcast? How long have you got to talk about it?
Mm-hmm. Because honestly, me and my trainer, like who's like my best friend, we are starting a podcast and it's the Triple B. It's the Beauty Brains of Bodybuilding. And we looked into this and there ain't no friggin' way right now. Like I'm not learning how to do this at all right now. So we were just going to do audio to start. But like I said, it's gotten pushed on the back burner because of all the other things in the way right now. So it's like, I told her, I promised her after the show's over, we will film our first episode. We will stay consistent, but what it's going to be is the same thing, which you're going to understand is scheduling. It's scheduling these things because you have to have like my days off. They're usually my days that I can make my reels and I can, you know, work on the content and things like that. Now you get better at it in time and they get put together a lot faster than when you first started. But, you know, those transition reels took me maybe about 2 hours in the beginning because nothing was matching.
But that's the thing, right? Because that's a really good point. Again, you've stolen my thunder. I was going to mention your reels because some of those reels have hit millions.
Yeah.
There's TikTok, there's Facebook, there's Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And for people that haven't seen them, you basically do like a clove drop, don't you, where you go from mm-hmm. one item of clothing to another. And for obvious reasons, I've never needed to do one, but I do know from doing reels, and it's not about just putting a phone up and I'll just film this. No, you've got to mm-hmm. know what you're doing before you even think about getting the camera out.
Yep.
Go on. Well, I'll let you tell the story.
No, you're fine. No, I mean, you do. I literally, don't get me wrong, there's some big extravagant ones that I've done. Mm. I will have a piece of paper and I will have it to how I want to do it, because if I'm wanting to reverse my hat, I have to put that somewhere and I have to be holding my hand in a different way or the reel's not going to match up. You know, your feet placement, your hand placement, everything needs to be in the same match. And then you have to really make sure that transition matches, you know. And what I'm learning is the reels, if you're doing your phone, you know, and you're taking it from the front of the phone, it's very, very blurry. And Instagram's like making the content, you know, become a lot blurrier. So I have to come up with another way, which is another camera. And that's going to be a whole nother project. But if you want better content out, that's what you have to do. And I mean, I do all my stuff by myself. I don't have anybody, you know, filming for me. So, yeah.
But that's what I mean, because people don't understand. It's like, even I do it when I'm doing my coaching meals. I have to make notes. I have to sit down and say, right, what do I want to talk about? Why do I want to talk about that? Mm-hmm. And who do I think wants to listen to? You know, mm-hmm. what is something yep. that's challenging somebody right now? And what is it that I think I know that can help them? And, mm-hmm. but what people see is a 30-second reel. And it's just like, no, that yep. might, that collection of reels, and, you know, yours would be a different time zone, time frame. But like you say.
But one reel could take, one 30-second reel could take you an hour.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do it right, you know, and then maybe like you got to leave room for the mess ups, you know, and constantly retakes. I can only drop my socks on my feet so many times. Yeah. frustrated after a while. But
have you had it when you drop an item in clothing and you go back in, oh, that's perfect, but your eyes were shut at a certain point when the camera yeah. froze, and you're like, oh, Jesus. Because that's the yeah. thing as well, that the simple things like where to look, don't blink. Try not to monitor your breath when I'm talking, because if I don't monitor my breath, I get these sort of pauses where it looks like I'm trying mm-hmm. to make a statement. It's like,
yep.
no, I just yeah. forgot to breathe. yep. I was focusing so much yep. on trying to remember what I was going to say. I stopped breathing.
Yeah. No, it's like with companies, like if you're trying to, you're putting almost like an ad out there for these people, and you're yeah. getting paid to do it. You keep messing up what you're supposed to say. And I memorize everything, you know, and I really understand what I'm talking about. I can't read off a piece of paper, nor do I read off a piece of paper. So there's a lot of like, oh my God, like I'm starting over again for the 100th time. Like, but it gets done.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets done. And I wanted to get, I'm conscious, not too taking up too much more of your time. Because we've been at this nearly an hour already. Something I wanted to reflect on with you, and this is, you know about this in a sense, because I told you about, oh, that's a story, a picture that paints 1,000 words and or tells 1,000 words. And I just want to run through a post that you put up a while ago. And you're going to know which one it is, because it goes from 2007 to 2023. And I want to read out the list.
Yeah.
So 2007, NPC Pennsylvania Championship figure first place. MPC Mid-Atlantic Grand Prix figure, second place. WNSO Fame World Tour figure, 2008. NPC Upper Ohio Valley figure, third place. 2008 Pittsburgh figure, sixth place. 2010 Pittsburgh Heavyweight, third place. 2011 NPC Pittsburgh Heavyweight, second place. And now 2011, NPC Junior Nationals Heavyweight, fifth. Bill Grant Classic Heavyweight, first and overall winner. Honored guest speaker at 10-year class reunion. 2013, NPC Northern Americans Heavyweight. 2014, featured female bodybuilder role, Mike's Hard Apple Ale commercial. NPC Perfect Posing DVD, model for female bodybuilding posing. Pittsburgh Heavyweight, second place national qualifier. Still 2014, USA Championships Heavyweight, third place pro qualifier. NPC Great Lakes Championship guest poser. 2015, IFBB Northern Americans Physique, fourth place pro qualifier. IFBB North Americans Heavyweight, first place pro qualifier. 2015, Miami Nationals Heavyweight, second place pro qualifier. 2016 USA Championships Heavyweight, second place pro qualifier. Now I'm only halfway through the list.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm going to carry on. I'm just taking a break. This is what I'm saying. And I'm going to take a break a second, right? So we're only halfway through the list, and we're only halfway through 2016, because there's the Physique eighth place pro qualifier, Pittsburgh Sportsline Channel 21 TV show, NPC Mid-Atlantic Grand Prix guest poser, NPC Miami Nationals Heavyweight first place IFBB pro card. 2017 film pilot for Buff Dynasty reality TV show with Linda Murray. 2017 honored guest speaker at BC Free College sociology class on breaking norms. 2017 IFBB Arizona Pro Wings of Strength Rising Phoenix World Championships. 2017 Model for Wings Strength of Music Video Legacy Woods. 2018 Model for Underneath We Are Women Published Book. 2019 Sponsored Wings of Strength Athlete. 2019 IFBBB Norfolk Pro First Place Qualified for Rising Phoenix 2019. IFBB Rising Phoenix World Championship, 6 in the world. All right, so 6 in the entire world. 2020 Sponsored Wings Strength of Strength Athlete. 2020 IFBB Chicago Pro First Place 2020 Olympia Qualification Best Poser Award. All right, I've lost my place. Bear with me a second. We were at 2020, weren't we? 2020 IFBB Rising Phoenix World Championship 7th Place Best Poser Award. 2020 feature story in November issue of Muscle and Fitness magazine, Global magazine. 2020 IFBB Olympia debut, 14th place. 2021 IFBB Chicago Pro, 7th place, WPD. 2021 Women of Excellence Award, Pittsburgh. 2022 mm-hmm. Sponsored Wings of Strength Athlete. 2022 IFBB Indy Pro, 1st place, Olympia qualified. 2022 front cover and feature in Amazon magazine. 2022 feature story in July Muscle Health and Fitness magazine. 2022 front cover and feature in Surreal magazine. 2022 Miss Olympia, 7th in the world, in probably the most prestigious bodybuilding in terms of history, legacy, eyes and focus on people, 7th in the entire world. I mean, mm-hmm. that is just phenomenal. 2022 published author for Amazon Fitness Magazine. 2023 IFBB Toronto Pro, 2nd place. Tampa Pro, 3rd place. And guest speaker, BC3 College Nursing 101. So the reason for reading all of that out is my question I want to ask you is, do you remember the girl that had an idea to start walking into a gym and lifting? Do you remember her?
Like, yeah, I do.
If she was sat next to you now, what would she say to you?
I hang in there. It's going to be okay. Because I was in a really bad spot.
Yeah, but what you would say to her. What would she say to you?
It would be just that. Like, you know, things are going to get better and you can do this. You know, like you have that dream, just stay with it and follow through because there's that dream, but then more things that you're going to encounter.
Yeah.
But, for sure.
Because that girl who, like you said, was in a bad place, it wasn't the greatest time in your life, has gone on to achieve all of these successes, has her gym, is engaged, has the dog. As it, do you know what I mean? It's achieved so much. Mm-hmm. She couldn't have imagined how that would become possible.
No, not at all. Because it was the places that I've been and all the it's like if you everything that you just read, imagine that burying yourself in the ground going the other way. You know, and it's like a two complete total opposites of when you see somebody like dealing with everything that I've dealt with in the past and all of the hiccups that you would think that this person is not worth it, will never amount to be anything, is going to stay stuck in this vicious cycle, never going to be able to get their head out of the ground, never get financially, you know, on the ground. You don't see that any of this that could have been possible. You know, there's so much, I think, self-doubt, even in the beginning, you know, especially if you've had issues and occurrences or people that don't believe in you. I think the only thing that I can say that I've always ever had, and I, you know, you don't realize it until maybe we speak now, is just I was seeking change. I was wanting change. And I knew that I could be better and I had more to offer the world. And that doesn't come to light until you start to see everything that you just listed, you know, and there's going to be people that, I mean, there's a lot of people that, I mean, we help in the gym, let's say, and they are addicts. Nobody cares about them. They want to do something with themselves. So we let them come in the gym. Obviously, we're monitoring people like that, but 9 out of 10 of them change because you have to switch one addiction to another addiction, but it's giving someone a chance and a change and believing in them. It's taking one person to just say that you can do this other than yourself. And that's it. You know, and I seeked out my, you know, I found my fiance and he was the one that started the roller coaster ride, you know, saying like, okay, let's go. You want to do this? Let's do this. And then that was the beginning of it. And I feel like we haven't gotten off the roller coaster yet. And there's, you know what I mean? There's still so many loops and turns and upside downs to go, you know, and it's not even close to being over, but it's been one heck of a ride, you know?
Are you able to feel proud about it yet?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you read stuff like that and you start to tear up because you're just like, you're reading it, but it's you're like, you then you have to come to an agreement where you're like, he's talking about me. Like he's talking about the things I did, you know, and I think that is like in the beginning, it's like, you know, you're just kind of checking things off. But then when you actually take a look and look down at all that stuff, like those are achievements that half of this world won't even do, you know, and sometimes we take those things for granted because maybe some of the stuff came easy or, and we just didn't, you know, we're just doing what we love to do. So we don't put it up on a high pedestal. We just keep going and going and going and checking boxes. But then when you look at it as a whole, you're like, holy smokes, like that's a lot of stuff, you know. And then we still have this other bundle, you know, to do. That's why this book that I'm writing for my biography is so important. And I need him to do his portion. I need him to write his because the goal is a movie. And it's getting it in the hands of the right people and it bouncing back and forth between his life and my life at a certain age. And then again, a certain age, and just keep going until we meet in the middle about 2007, 2008, and then ride it out. And it's not even close to being done with everything else that we have on the back burner still. So it's exciting, and it's just like you are the author of your own story. And it's, you know, sometimes you look down and you got a bunch of broken pencils, but you just have to start sharpening the first one and go. I mean, and don't let anybody tell you no. I mean, because that's the only way that I've did it. If I listen to half the people and the jokes that people were saying, you want to be a fitness person, you want to be this, you want to be that, I would have never done it, but I was destined that I wanted to do it. And you have to have that, again, going back to your very important thing that you just stated earlier in the podcast, was your mindset. That's where it all begins.
And that's a perfect place to round it off. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, David.
And there you are, a fantastic and lovely Teresa. Please do check out her socials. And I hope you enjoyed that glimpse into female bodybuilding at the highest level and just how difficult and technical it is. And as always, thank you very much for listening, for watching, for subscribing. And whoever you are, wherever you are from, whatever you believe, please do take care and be blessed.